It is Tuesday, December 17th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Ozarks at Large is sponsored in part by the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle, whose mission is to transform and expand women's giving to university programs and research through a collective voice.
In a few minutes on Ozarks, why more walk-in clinics might dot the landscape as the Affordable Care Act is rolled out. And the founder of Cherish the Women, Joni Madden, talks about learning to play the Irish whistle and why she was impressed with her first ever visit to Fayetteville. The band plays tonight at Walton Arts Center.
First, the State Board of Education is removing four school districts from fiscal distress. The board made the decision yesterday. Two of those districts, Hartford and Alpena, are in the northwestern quarter of the state. Andrea Martin is the superintendent of Alpena Schools. She says the district was placed on fiscal distress in May 2012.
Earlier in the year, they had been flagged with a declining balance, projected balance, ending balance of $330,000. And as they calculated that out, it was going to dip actually below $168,000. And so the department stepped in and began interventions to, you know, remedy and put a plan in place to assist with that ending balance.
Martin says the district had already taken steps to remediate its fiscal situation, such as eliminating four full-time positions in the district and more closely monitoring maintenance and transportation costs before she became superintendent in July. She says close oversight is being given to the district's budget process, with priority being given to non-negotiable instructional, transportation, and maintenance costs. Additionally, she says the necessity of filling vacant positions will be analyzed before any hiring decisions are made.
The Jean Tyson Child Development Study Center at the University of Arkansas has earned reaccreditation from the National Association for the Education of Young Children. According to the U of A, the accreditation places the center within the top 10% of private sector child care facilities in the nation. Research by the New Republic magazine suggests only 10% of facilities like the Jean Tyson Center meet the association's standards. The accreditation lasts for 5 years. The Jean Tyson Center opened in August of 2012.
Giving Tuesday netted several thousand dollars for the University of Arkansas, including nearly $6,000 from the university community alone. Giving Tuesday, held on the Tuesday following Thanksgiving, also brought in $15,000 in online donations to the university through the rest of the week. In total, nearly $21,000 in contributions came into the university in the week following Thanksgiving. The university was one of 10,000 nonprofit organizations worldwide to participate in the Giving Tuesday movement.
The Arkansas Legal Services Partnership, a nonprofit organization which provides free legal help to low-income Arkansans, is adding a new feature to its website with funding through a federal grant. Vince Morris, the organization's director, says the new resources made available through the $41,000 grant are designed to help people who are unfamiliar with the judicial system.
This new court help area of the website that we just launched last week really looks into the basics of going to court. So we've set them up with forms, we've talked about the law and legal information, so this is the next step about the rules of court, what to do when you get there, where to go file, things of that nature.
Morris says despite his organization's high volume of clients, there are still plenty of Arkansans who can qualify for free assistance.
We benefited close to 36,000 low-income Arkansans yearly throughout the state. But which is a great high number, and I think as a law firm, that's probably the highest number you could achieve, or has been achieved here. But that's still just a drop in the bucket compared to 800,000, 900,000 low-income Arkansans that qualify and may need better access to justice.
The Federal Legal Services Corporation provided the grant, and the organization funds similar projects throughout the nation.
The City of Bella Vista is seeking grant funding of its own for street projects in the city. Last night, the Bella Vista City Council agreed to apply for three federal surface transportation grants administered through the Northwest Arkansas Regional Planning Commission. Mayor Frank Anderson says the larger of the three projects would involve expanding Mercy Way, which was known as Dartmoor Drive until earlier this year.
It has a new school, relatively new school. Has a new health clinic that's going to take a lot of folks. It's basically a two-lane street with a two-lane bridge. It's a traffic nightmare every morning and afternoon as school lets out, and it's going to be worse now with this particular health clinic down there. So that's the first project that we're asking for assistance on to get it engineered and designed. and see what it will cost us to actually go ahead and complete the project.
The other two projects the city is seeking funding for would see redesigns to specific accident-prone areas of Highway 71. But Mayor Anderson says it's unlikely the city will receive all three grants.
The reason we put in three, there's a finite amount that the Northwest Arkansas Planning Commission can spend. And so we hope we'll get the big one, the one on Mercy Way. But if we don't, because of cost, maybe they'll run down to some money that they have left and they'll say, well, you know, Bella Vista deserves one, so we'll give them this one, and it may be one of the lesser expensive ones that we end up with. So that's why we're putting in three. They're all of differing values, differing costs. So we're hoping we can get some help with at least one of those projects.
Each of the grants would provide 80% of the design and engineering costs for their respective projects. The grant sought for the Mercy Way project would provide about $256,000 of federal funding, while the two grants for improvements to Highway 71 would provide $124,000 and $88,000, respectively.
Tonight's weather forecast calls for mostly clear conditions with lows from 29 in northwest Arkansas to 35 in the Arkansas River Valley. Sunny tomorrow with highs around 62 degrees. And tomorrow night, expect partly cloudy skies with lows around 45 degrees. This is Ozarks at Large. You've developed a bad cough and worry it might be bronchitis. Your primary care physician is booked for the next week, so you decide to visit the local urgent care center. As Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, such walk-in clinics are convenient, affordable, and will likely be in greater demand because of healthcare reform.
We have 24 urgent care centers in Arkansas. 4 are in the Arkansas River Valley, 5 in central Arkansas, and 5 in northwest Arkansas. 2 MediServe walk-in clinics operated by MANA, that's Medical Associates of Northwest Arkansas, Ozark Urgent Care in Bentonville, and Caris Urgent Care, which operates clinics in Lowell and Fayetteville. Near the busy University of Arkansas, Dr. Robert Caris worked as an emergency room physician for 3 local hospitals before opening his own urgent care practice 2 years ago. Business is brisk.
Anywhere from 15 to 30 at each clinic.
That's per day. Most of his patients range in age from 20 to 50. His Lowell patients are primarily Hispanic. Dr. Karras will not accept patients with chest pain, stroke symptoms, severe abdominal pain, and chronic pain, referring them to local emergency rooms. But he does treat everything else.
Some people we do some primary care with, like blood pressure and diabetes, but mainly like if they're young and pretty healthy and like say they go out and they get injured or they hurt themselves, they come in and we'll take care of them. Or if they, get a sinus infection or bronchitis or something like that, we could cover them. For that, sometimes we treat people for abdominal pain. They'll come in and we'll treat them for that. Bladder infections are pretty common. Strep throat's common.
Staff create electronic medical records for each patient for continuity of care, but unlike many urgent care centers, Caris is a cash-only clinic, another medical industrial complex novelty.
We don't file insurance. That's what we tell everybody when they, all our front desk people. It's important. When people call and ask, do you take insurance? Don't say no. We say we don't file insurance. We'll give them an itemized statement that they can turn in and send into their insurance company. They'll get reimbursed just like they went to the regular doctor's office.
Not filing insurance saves his clinic both money and time, Dr. Caris says.
The reason why we do that is so that we can get you in and out. We can see you within 20 minutes usually, get you in and out. It's not triple layers of paperwork and this and that and, wait in the waiting room, wait to see the doctor, wait to leave. It's just walk right back in, get out, and then hopefully go get better.
Caris Urgent Care Center fees are transparent, posted on the clinic's website. A single visit for a cough or sore throat costs $60 for a child, $70 for an adult. A simple laceration, $85. X-rays cost $50. Lab costs range between $30 and $50. So with millions of Americans and hundreds of thousands of Arkansans enrolling in private insurance on the healthcare marketplace, does Dr. Karas expect to see a surge of patients?
Possibly, or on the other side, they might be seeing the other normal doctors that file insurance, and then they'll be able to do less walk-ins, and they'll be busier, and so we'll see people for more urgent care walk-in type visits.
Dr. Karas says he's looking into accepting insurance because of healthcare reform. The Karas Clinic is one of 9,000 urgent care centers operating nationwide, with hundreds opening annually. And according to the Center for Studying Health System Change, a nonpartisan project based in Washington, D.C., more consumers are seeking them out. Dr. Karas says that's because the atmosphere at his clinic is less pressured.
Old-time medicine where the doctors enjoyed their patients and patients enjoyed their doctors.
35% of urgent care clinics are owned by physicians, another third by corporations, and 25% by hospitals. The rest operate as chains. And everyone is patronizing them.
Oh, that's from pediatric to geriatric.
Dr. Franz Ritucci is president of the American Academy of Urgent Care Medicine. He's worked in emergency medicine and urgent care and has started up urgent care centers, which he says first appeared in the 1980s.
Back in those days, they were commonly called a doc in the box. It was a doctor that had a center, and you could just walk in, sort of like a McDonald's-type center. Over time, as physicians became more business savvy, as the landscape of technologies have changed, and as the landscape of consumerism has changed, so has the level of delivery of health care in urgent care centers changed.
The business of urgent care clinics is based on volume, so tend to be concentrated in suburbs and affluent metro areas, research shows. Urgent care clinic costs are on par with primary care costs, both of which exceed convenience care clinics, which have proliferated in shopping centers and big box stores. Those are staffed primarily by nurse practitioners and provide limited service. Retail clinic patients are often referred to urgent care centers, which are also catching on with investors, says Dr. Ritucci.
There is a lot of venture capital money out there. And as any business entity goes, they are buying up independent centers. Some centers are closing because of the, again, level of sophistication of competitors. So it's a very fluid market.
The Urgent Care Association of America says private equity firms see urgent care's potential due to a primary care physician shortage, with fewer medical students choosing careers in family practice.
Family practice or family practitioners are on the lower rung of reimbursements.
Medical school is extremely competitive and expensive, Dr. Ritucci says, and more young doctors are choosing to specialize, because the money's better.
If someone elects to go into family practice, I applaud them. We all applaud them because we don't have enough of them. But the reimbursements to those physicians is not on par with, say, one who went into cardiology.
But those choosing to work in urgent care appear to be a certain breed.
I would say that they are physicians that have been either in family practice or have done emergency medicine for some time and are looking for a change in the dynamics on how they want to deliver care. Usually they're very highly energetic people that can see a multitude of different pathologies, different patients, and can see these patients in a short amount of time, but yet deliver quality care.
Dr. Ritucci says best management practices are in place for urgent care centers, and many seek accreditation.
One of the earmarks that one would look for would be, is the center accredited and by whom?
To keep costs low, Caris Clinic has opted to not pay annual accreditation fees. According to the Center for Studying Health System Change, the impact of urgent care centers on access and costs is not yet clear. Research also indicates that while urgent care centers cut into primary care business and disrupt continuity of care, hospitals and health systems with attached urgent care centers find they capture more patients, and insurance companies like them because they contain costs by keeping patients out of expensive ERs. Next year, millions more newly insured Americans will seek out routine medical care, with many qualifying for subsidies through their marketplaces. Two dozen states are also expanding Medicaid, with the Fed carrying the entire cost for the first few years. Arkansas has opted to utilize a private option, allowing 250,000 newly eligible to enroll in private health insurance coverage, which cover urgent care visits. And while most urgent care centers accept Medicare patients, many won't accept conventional Medicaid patients. The reimbursement rates are so low, they would cause centers to hemorrhage money. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
In about 11 minutes on Ozarks at Large, apps aren't just for your phone anymore.
Chromecast has also brought some new players to the table. One of the big ones is Plex, which is software that communicates with your computer. So you would install Plex on your computer, mm-hmm. and you would use the Plex app on your Chromecast. And that allows all of your media to be accessible to your Chromecast. So any TV shows you have on your computer, movies you have on your computer, music you have on your computer, photos, all those things go through Plex.
Our tech ambassador says the smart TV is leading to the smart living room. We try to keep up with the latest TV that's not TV. Well, maybe it is. That conversation ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
I'm Robin Young. Next time on Here and Now, 50 years after Dadoo Run Run Run, one of the Crystals' lead singers still has that girl band sound.
Dear boy, I won't send it, so you'll never see the letter I write.
Lala Brooks, next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Listen this afternoon from 1 to 3 to KUAF 91.3 FM.
This is Ozarks at Large. Here's a mental exercise to try. Make a list of the significant economic segments of the Northwest Arkansas economy. Certainly, retail plays a big role. Walmart and the legion of associated vendors located here has a large impact on the economy. Food processing, trucking and logistics, education and tourism, too. Chances are you didn't list the military. While not one of the larger parts of the economic equation in Benton and Washington counties, a recent report compiled by the Northwest Arkansas Council found that the annual contribution to the two counties from military-related factors is more than $150 million. Troy Galloway, the Community and Economic Development Director for Bentonville, says recognition of the military's importance might not be, as he puts it, front and center for many, but he says it's indeed an important presence.
When you start to peel the onion back just a little bit, you begin to realize when you look at the Veterans Administration Services, the hospital, the Arkansas Army National Guard, even the Army Reserve, and all of these other smaller parts that collectively add up to be a fairly significant part of our economy.
Troy Galloway is also the commander of the Arkansas National Guard's 142nd Fires Brigade, based in Fayetteville. It has more than 1,300 soldiers from all over Northwest Arkansas, including more than 800 who live in the two counties covered in the report.
And I think what people recognized through the media, through personal accounts over the last decade, is that the soldiers in this brigade have deployed multiple times to Iraq, to Afghanistan, to Kuwait, to the Middle East in various forms, and have supplemented an army that has been strained over a decade of war and that desperately needed these folks to step up, and they've done it time and time again.
Rob Smith, a communications and policy specialist with the Northwest Arkansas Council, prepared the report on the military's economic impact locally. He says those soldiers in the region are earning paychecks that stretch their spending across the area.
For many people that are in the National Guard, it's a second income, but it's also a lot of discretionary money. If you have a job like Troy in the community working for the city of Bentonville, you know, that's money they can spend and ultimately create other jobs, services, retail, all those things, all that spending that occurs.
Smith says the money added to the region's economy from military checks doesn't only come from active members of the Army and the National Guard. The Northwest Arkansas Council's report says nearly 32,000 veterans have made homes in the two counties. That's about 7% of the overall population.
That's a significant number. Certainly the VA hospital is a huge factor. When you talk to veterans, many of them have located here specifically because those services are available. But, you know, one of the, you know, fly under radar kind of stats you think about, or maybe you don't think about, is that the VA, the system we have in Fayetteville and in the clinics, they spend another $30 million at other hospitals in the region. And the reason they do that is because they don't want those veterans to wait on a service that they can't perform there. They don't want them to have to get on a waiting list at Little Rock. They need it faster. So that benefits Washington Regional. It benefits, certainly the Mercy system. It benefits our hospitals. I mean, that's a good fly under the radar stat that I kind of ran into.
The report estimates those services provided by other hospitals to veterans in Northwest Arkansas worth about $33 million. Rob Smith says a recent $74 million expansion at the Veterans Administration in Fayetteville wasn't tallied in the report and could push the military's role in the local economy well past the $150 million figure. He says the council will issue other reports about specific economic factors in the region, though there isn't a timetable for when those will be finished. He says the council became interested in the military impact on the local economy in part because some of the largest companies here are making public commitments to hire more veterans.
You know, Walmart announced that they want to hire 100,000 veterans, and they've already hit 20,000. We've seen Tyson Foods hire 1,200 veterans, and if you look at the proportion of employees, 1,200 is a similar percentage to what Walmart has. Those are big numbers. J.B. Hunt was recognized by GI Jobs magazine as a good place for veterans. So certainly their interest and their interest in helping veterans helped, it really encouraged the Northwest Arkansas Council to want to take a look at what do they mean in our two counties.
Troy Galloway, the commander of the National Guard's 142nd Fires Brigade and a member of the economic development team in Bentonville, says he had never really thought about the exact impact military services have in this corner of the state. He says $150 million or so dollars may not be a large part of what's estimated by the Northwest Arkansas Council to be a $20 billion economy here, but he says there is value beyond the statistics. He says the National Guard has been part of efforts following a massive tornado in MENA, flooding in southwestern Arkansas in the past few years, and just this month after a winter storm hit the region.
We had soldiers on state active duty that were augmenting and supplementing local emergency responders, driving the highways of northwest Arkansas, helping motorists that might have needed some assistance. We pushed out some generators to a couple of nursing homes that were requiring additional power when they lost power for periods of time. And so those are the sorts of things that obviously impact people, they impact organizations, and I guess in some way, even though it's hard to quantify, it does indirectly impact the economy.
There is a link to the entire new report about military economic impact on Northwest Arkansas at our webpage, ozarksatlarge.com.
In about 11 minutes on Ozarks, a suggestion for some holiday reading, a collection of thoughts about the Ozarks from a collection of writers, including Donald Harrington, Miller Williams, Andrea Hollander, and more. Meredith Martin-Motes has a review of Yonder Mountain in Ozarks Anthology.
The lingering rescheduled effects of the winter storm continue. The Springdale Library invites patrons to help them celebrate the holidays with the library's annual reception. Now it's scheduled for tomorrow from 5 until 7 p.m. Missy Gibson and company will still be there to provide the entertainment. Refreshments will be served.
Also tomorrow is the 47th annual Silver Tea at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs. The third time is the charm for the event, twice delayed because of weather. Tomorrow's tea is from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Crescent and will raise funds for Clear Spring School's acquisition of safe playground equipment. The public is invited and admission is by donation. If you'd like more information, 253-5367.
Also rescheduled, the Willie Nelson concert at Walton Arts Center. We told you about this last week. Members of Nelson's band were injured last month when one of the tour buses hit ice on a Texas highway. And the new date for the sold-out concert is March 4th. If you have tickets intended for the original show last month, hang on to those. They are the very tickets you'll use to see Willie on March 4th. If you have any questions about the Willie Nelson Show, you can call the Walton Arts Center at 443 443- 5,600.
Saturday marks the end of the fall semester at the University of Arkansas. More than 900 graduates will accept their diplomas during the fall commencement inside Barnhill Arena Saturday morning, beginning at 9. For the fall event, there is one unified ceremony for graduates from every college on campus. Honorary degrees will be awarded to Sister Helen Prejean, internationally known death penalty opponent and author of Dead Man Walking, and to Francis James, a groundbreaking researcher in ornithology and ecology, and one of the first women to receive a doctorate in biological sciences at the U of A.
Also Saturday, an old-fashioned Saturday matinee at the Victory Theater in downtown Rogers. The movie The Polar Express will be shown as part of the Holiday Hoopla in Rogers. Doors open at 9 Saturday morning. The movie begins at 10. Tickets, $10 each. Proceeds benefit Main Street Rogers. Admission includes cookies, hot cocoa, and a visit from Santa. The tickets, by the way, are only available online at mainstreetrogers.com. Seating limited to 150 people.
And a successful fall semester for the University of Arkansas swimming and diving team ends with the Razorbacks ranked 19th in the latest edition of the Division I college swimming and diving poll. Arkansas was undefeated in dual meets this semester, and the program has now won 14 consecutive dual meets, a new school record.
KUAF is here for your community. And in this season of giving, we hope you can help out as well. KUAF's Giving Tree will benefit the Outback program from Fayetteville Public Schools during the holidays. The Outback program is looking for non-perishable food items and gently used donations of children's clothing, shoes, and coats. Simply bring your donation to KUAF at 9 South School in Fayetteville and place it under our tree. Thanks and happy holidays.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Callums. With me inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Tyrell Dennison, who's the Director of Technology for Grand Slam Performance Associates. And so what does the Director of Technology for Grand Slam Performance Associates do?
Well, my main place of focus right now is actually on a product of ours called servetoperform.com, and you can go there and sign up. It's an online community of people who are coming together to gain from each other professionally, so developing soft skills through mentor-protege relationships or small group meetups, ideation sessions where you're coming up with new ideas and things like that. So it's a way for people to help each other grow, real practitioners in the fields at companies who want to pour into people, or people who want access to stuff like mentors who don't have access to it easily. They can go look for someone on servetoperform.com.
And as always is also our tech ambassador. Welcome back.
Glad to be back, Kyle.
All right. I've had a question on my mind for some time. Over the last few weeks, I've been watching football games, and a commercial that is on my television all the time is this little thing that's inserted to a television, a Chromecast?
Chromecast, yeah.
What the heck is this?
Chromecast is it's a small, you could call it a dongle. It's a small device that plugs into the HDMI port on a television, and it gives you a huge amount of apps to your television. So it makes a dumb television smart, so to speak.
I see. Well, as long as you have the slot for it to be inserted into.
Right. As long as you have an open HDMI port, that's all it takes. And so televisions have become increasingly more smart, more aware. There's apps on just about everything now. And so this is one more step toward the smart living room that has been hinted towards and promised by people for so long.
Chromecast is made by Google, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is this much like Apple Television or Roku?
Yeah, it's a lot like those. And so there's the main difference is, I mean, interface will be a little different. It's not, they're not all going to look the same, and there'll be different branding. But at this point, the war is for who brings the best apps to your TV. What do you want to watch on your TV or listen to on your TV, and who provides that for you? And so looking over what device offers what for you is kind of the best way to pick on whether you want something like Chromecast or whether you want the Apple TV or Roku, or just picking up a TV with apps in it.
Which would be a smart TV.
Mm-hmm.
I have Apple TV. I've had it for a couple of years now. So when you switch over there, you have all these boxes. And until just now, I hadn't really thought of them as apps like on a smartphone, but that's exactly what they are.
That's exactly what they are.
So. And there are many.
Yeah, there's a whole lot, and the list is upgrading all the time. I decided to look a little further into the app's situation when you brought up kind of what you wanted to talk about today. And I'm an Apple TV owner as well, and I'm finding out about new apps because if you're not always aware and always updating, even though you set your device to update automatically, sometimes it doesn't do it the moment new stuff comes through. And so, I even found out about stuff that I'm excited that is now on Apple TV or supposedly on Apple TV. I can't confirm it because apparently I haven't done the latest update. But we've seen the like PBS is now on Apple TV. Watch ABC is another app that's come to Apple TV recently. And so there's just a huge list for new sources. Sky News has recently been added, which is a news network from the UK. For sports, Apple TV is definitely the way to go. They have the ESPN app, which requires that you already have a subscription to or a cable plan that has ESPN and plays nice with the ESPN app because of their connections with, I believe, ABC.
Right. So I do know that Cox, which is one of the major cable providers, and I believe UVerse as well,
yes,
another one in this area, they both have that. So if you subscribe to – if you have a cable subscription or a satellite subscription through those services, then you can get the Watch ESPN material,
right,
which is almost everything they show and more.
Right. And there's actually stuff you'll have access to as a non-ESPN haver. You can get ESPN 3 games that are broadcast on ESPN 3 are available to watch, as well as highlights and different clips. And so there's all of that. And then also on Apple TV, you've got the NBA, NHL, MLS,
Major League Baseball.
Yeah, there's a whole host of them. For sports fans, Apple TV's got a big advantage to it.
We should point out that those leagues, MLS, NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, that requires additional payment.
Right.
You don't get that for free. You have access to now pay for it.
Right. You can pay for, depending on who it is, there's monthly or annual fees that you pay to get access to those.
You do not have to be a cable or satellite subscriber.
That's
right. It's a way to get those games without doing that, but you do still have to pay.
Yeah, and it's similar to Netflix in that you have to have a subscription to access that.
So that's Apple TV, but the competitors, Roku has some – do any of them have apps that overlap or do they
– there's quite a few that have apps that overlap. So Chromecast, the mystery device of the hour.
Yes.
It's got Netflix. It's got HBO Go, which Apple TV also has. That one's another one that just requires a HBO subscription, and then you can watch all the content on demand. So there are a few places of overlap with Chromecast. Chromecast has also brought some new players to the table. One of the big ones is Plex, which is software that communicates with your computer. So you would install Plex on your computer, mm-hmm, and you would use the Plex app on your Chromecast, and that allows all of your media to be accessible to your Chromecast. So any TV shows you have on your computer, movies you have on your computer, music you have on your computer, photos, all those things go through Plex. Plex is smart enough to basically do a sweep of your computer and say, all this stuff is media, and then it becomes available to the Chromecast. Oh. So for people who don't like having to do the get everything into iTunes dance to be able to access that on an Apple TV, can use something like a Chromecast, which is significantly cheaper than an Apple TV, less than 50%. I think they're up to 30 now, I think, mm-hmm, is how much they're running. And then you can get access to all the stuff you have, say you came about it by less than reputable means, and you've got a huge library of videos. You can see those through Plex.
And then Roku.
Yeah, Roku's kind of a silent one in the mix. There's a lot more people with Roku than there were before. It's taken off, and again, it's a little cheaper, depending on the model you get, than Apple TV. But one of the big advantages of Roku is they have private channels. So there's the main channels that everyone knows about. There's Netflix and Hulu Plus. Amazon Prime, which is a nice ad to Roku. So if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, you can watch your stuff
and
on Roku.
Amazon Prime, much like Netflix, now producing their own original programming
Programming and rentals, purchases, the whole nine yards. So Amazon wants in your living room just as much as everybody else.
Right.
Yep. And then they have Spotify and RDO, which are two subscription-based music plans that let you listen to anything you want on demand. I personally use RDO, and it allows me to, whenever I want, listen to whatever I want, for the most part, as long as it's in the catalog. It's a lot of fun on road trips, obviously not while I'm driving,
right?
But to hand it off to somebody who doesn't know the power of these services, and I just say, what do you want to listen to? Here, find it, anything. And you can have a lot of fun with that. And so now you can do that in your living room at a party. Just give someone the remote and say, play some music. Oh, I don't know. What do you want to play? Anything. It's limitless. But Roku also has TED TV. And then with their private channels, which are ones that aren't just displayed out of the box, but you add to the Roku device, they've got access to a lot more stuff. Like there's a BBC private channel. There's a CNN private channel that offers clips of stuff like Food Network, Fox Business, Al Jazeera English, CBS Sports. Some of those are full streams and some of them are clips. It just depends on the channel. But you've got access to all those. Yahoo Sports is on there too. Crackle, the free movie one we talked about, is also there. So there's just a wealth of stuff if you're willing to put a little more effort into getting those channels on your Roku.
All of these devices, the Roku, the Chromecast, and Apple TV, the devices themselves are a one-time payment.
Yep.
You go, you buy, you hook up.
Buy it once, hook it up, you're done. All you need is internet connection and a television to view it through.
Right. Another thing, I know with Apple TV, the remote is frustratingly small and can fall between couch cushions quite easily.
Yes.
But the good news is, if you also have a smartphone, you can download a free remote control, so you always have remote control. And I think the others work that way, too.
The others do. There's a Roku remote, and there's, I believe, a Chromecast remote. I haven't seen a Chromecast in the wild yet. So we'll see which one of my friends is trendy enough and anti-Apple enough to pick up a Chromecast this Christmas.
If you have a tablet of any variety or a smartphone of any variety, eventually they get old. Right, because the new versions have come out and they want you to buy the new version after a few generations, and so you find these apps aren't working on your phone or your tablet like they used to because they've updated. Now, is that going to be a problem with our smart TVs? Will we have to buy new TVs every few years just to keep up with the app technology?
Well, some of the TVs will update their apps for you. So now that there's stuff that is built into TVs, Samsung, Vizio, these companies now have smart apps built into TVs. And again, that becomes a factor in picking their television now. Before, it was just resolution or size, but now, well, this one has Crackle, this one doesn't, this one has Pandora, this one doesn't.
All right, thank you, Ty.
You bet.
Tyrell Dennison is Director of Technology for Grand Slam Performance Associates and our Tech Ambassador at Ozarks at Large.
This is Ozarks at Large. Meredith Martin Moats has spent time the past few months reading and then recommending books about Arkansas. Many of her recent picks have been books still available but published years ago. But her latest selection, Yonder Mountain, an Ozarks anthology, was published this year by the University of Arkansas Press. She says it's an all-star collection of essays, fiction, and poems that's well worth a reader's time.
In April of this year, the University of Arkansas Press released the book Yonder Mountain, an Ozarks anthology. A collection of writings by Ozark authors both past and present, this 209-page compilation features a mixture of both fiction and nonfiction pieces and pays homage to the 1981 publication Ozark, Ozark, A Hillside Reader. Compiled by poet Miller Williams, that original collection, now 32 years old, is revered for showcasing a diversity of writing styles that capture both the history and the changing landscape of the region. Writing in the introduction to this new publication, Anthony Priest, raised on a farm near Ebenezer, Missouri, and now an associate professor and chair of the English department at Missouri State University, strives to build on the strength of that original collection, which he argues, quote, renders not just the physical, but also the metaphorical landscape that binds us together in the flow of human experience, even beyond bioregionalism, end quote. This new collection features a diversity of writers born between 1929 and 1989. In some cases, the original authors receive a repeat inclusion, while others are younger and just beginning their careers. Some were born in the Ozarks, others are transplants. Historian and folklorist Brooke Blevins, for example, writes about the history of the infamous dog patch, including the marketing of the Arkansas hillbilly image and the park's short-lived connection to Orville Faubus in the essay Jethro and Abner, an Arkansas Counterculture. Much-loved Ozark novelist the late Donald Harrington draws on his infamous Ingledew characters in the short piece Telling Time, a bittersweet and humorous look at two old-time storytellers from his mythical Ozark town of Staymore. Sarah Burge, originally of West Plains, Missouri, writes of her grandmother killing chickens in the poem Sacraments. Quote, swung them around and whipped them like a wet towel, white feathers bursting into the springtime twilight like champagne. End quote. Meredith Sisko, storyteller, singer, and consultant for the Oscar-nominated film Winter's Bone, discusses her memories of growing up in small-town Ozarks, admitting that she, quote, likes to tell it not how it is, but as I remember it, end quote. And Michael Burns, a founder of the Creative Writing Program at Missouri State University, writes of his father in the poem Sweet Potatoes, recalling a boyhood accident in which he cut his finger on glass buried deep in the garden soil. He touches the scar on his hand and digs up the potatoes in his current garden while his mind wanders to the man who taught him how to plant. In a measured piece that hints at longing and grief, the poem concludes, quote, I must be about as old now as he was then, end quote. Other well-known names in the collection include Roy Reed, James Whitehead, and Miller Williams. One of the most striking pieces comes from historian Bonnie Steppenhoff, a woman with a long background in Civilian Conservation Corps research. While on sabbatical in the Ozark National Scenic Riverways, researching an old state park created by the CCC, she kept a journal, which later became published under the title Big Spring Autumn. Spending time near Big Spring in Carter County, Missouri, Steppenhoff writes about the cool water springs and humanity's endless attempts to control nature. Writing in response to the park's efforts to control the flow of the springs, she offers up this passage, quote, this painterly view of nature may have been better than the purely utilitarian idea that nature exists for man's economic benefit. But is there another possible view? Does nature have to be pretty if it is not useful? Can it just be? Can people find a way to see nature as something truly separate from themselves, as something deeply nonconforming and fundamentally wild? And then, can they see themselves as part of that? Yonder Mountain, an Ozarks anthology edited by Anthony Priest, is available through the University of Arkansas Press. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Meredith Martin Moats.
Meredith Martin Moats is the director for the McElroy House in Yell County, an organization for folklife, oral history, and community action. You can read more from her at the blog boileddownjuice.com. She reviewed the book Yonder Mountain, an Ozarks anthology published by the University of Arkansas Press.
It is Tuesday, December 17th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and joining me now is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Antoinette?
Yes, ma'am?
I'd like to say something very important to you.
You look scared.
It's time for everybody to panic.
Oh, no, why?
Because if you haven't gotten your Christmas shopping done, it's time to panic. Panic.
Panicking everywhere.
Okay, don't panic.
Okay, I'll try. I don't know if I can not panic now that you've told me to panic.
Well, I'm panicking, but you don't need to.
Okay.
Because there's fun things to do that not all of them are Christmassy today.
Okay.
Scenes of Newton County, which is a photo exhibit from the vast collection at the Shiloh Museum of Ozark History, mm-hmm. opens today.
Okay.
On show through May 10th. And you cannot comprehend, if you've never been and seen their photo collection, more than 500,000 images.
Oh, wow.
And if you want to chronicle any topic, if you want it to be Newton County, if you want it to be pig pens in Northwest Arkansas, they can pull out 50 images. So these photo exhibits are so fascinating. And their hours are 10 to 5 on weekdays and on Saturday. And it's free.
I like free.
Tonight is a Celtic Christmas with Cherish the Ladies.
Mm-hmm. Been to the area before, last year, I think.
They have, and they're very popular. Mm-hmm. Instrumentals, vocals, arrangements, and step dancing. Who doesn't love step dancing?
Mm-hmm.
At 7 o'clock at the Walton Art Center, tickets start at $18. And tonight is the Ozark Poetry Slam's open mic, followed by an open jam between musicians and poets.
Fun. fun.
That starts at 8 o'clock at the Phoenix in Fayetteville, and admission to it is also free.
Awesome. Thanks, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Joni Madden founded the ensemble Cherish the Women nearly 29 years ago. The band is considered one of the best groups performing traditional Irish music anywhere in the world. Joni is also the best-selling whistle player in history, with sales of more than 500,000 solo records. Joni and Cherish the Ladies will perform tonight at Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville. Yesterday, after a 600-mile trip into Fayetteville following a performance in Iowa on Sunday night, Joni Madden talked to me about the band, about the Christmas lights in downtown Fayetteville, and why she paid for her own lessons to learn to play the whistle.
Well, you know what? I was the typical teenager, you know. My father, I'm one of seven children, and my father was an All-Ireland champion on the accordion. We grew up in houses that were all full of music, so we were very fortunate. The music was passed down to us. But in my case, my father, you know, he loved the fiddle, so he picked the fiddle. You know, he took me for fiddle lessons to a very, very good teacher, and I just didn't like the instrument. And, he then said, well, I told the guy, the teacher, I was quitting, and he was running through the house looking for me. Where is she? I hid under the bed. I told my mother to go out and tell him I was quitting. And then my father didn't want to give up on me, and we had a piano in the house, and he said, listen, why don't you play the piano? And I didn't like that either, and it wasn't until one day when I saw the penny whistle. And if people don't know what a penny whistle is, it's the sound that was with Celine Dion and the Titanic, you know, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know?
Right.
It's that sound, and I saw that instrument, and I just fell in love with it, and I asked my father, could I take whistle lessons, and he just kind of said, no, get out of here. You've had two chances now. So I was babysitting at the time. I said, fine, I'll pay for it myself, and thank God a penny whistle cost $3 at the time. They're $1,700 now, but at the time when I started, they were $3. So, but once I took my first lesson, I was absolutely hooked, and I drove my family demented after that, playing the thing all the time.
Well, a couple of things. If something costs $1,700, should it still be called a penny whistle? That it seems like there should.
Well, you know what? It was called a penny whistle because it used to cost a penny when it was invented.
So,
and a lot of beggars would play it in the street as well, and you'd throw a penny into their hat.
Right.
And let me tell you, I'm getting more than a penny from the Walton Arts Center.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Well, I have to tell you, after the long drive yesterday, I'm from New York. I was born in the Bronx, believe it or not. But after the long drive, it was just wonderful to get here, to Fayetteville. But my God, when we drove into town and to see the town the way it's lit up and all the lights. I mean, we were just in New York City, and I went down and I saw we saw the Christmas tree, and I took the girls all down through Fifth Avenue and Park Avenue just to see the Christmas lights, which are, they're renowned worldwide.
Sure.
But I have to tell you, this place would give it a run for any money. We couldn't get over the way the whole town is come alive with the Christmas spirit. It's just amazing. We drove down Dixon Street just to see it. We've never been here before, and I just said, this is going to be a great town. We're going to have a great show here. It's just, and I when I checked into the hotel, I said, my God, who did this? Oh, it's the Chamber of Commerce. So you guys all got together to do this, and I just, you should be very proud. It's state of the art, absolutely breathtaking. The pictures. We were taking photos for a half hour before we got to the hotel after the drive.
Well, that's saying something after a 600-mile drive that you still wanted to stay up.
Yeah, well, it was just beautiful, and we've been hearing about this Performing Arts Center for a long time. We've played all over. We've done, we played a couple of symphonies in Arkansas in the past couple of years, but we've never been into Fayetteville. So we're very, very excited, and I'm so proud of the crew that I have. Everybody is just, each person individually is just outstanding. I mean, I have All Ireland champions on the musicians, in my musicians. My singer is a woman named Kathy Ryan. And she was voted the best female vocalist in Celtic music. And I have to tell you, she's just absolutely stunning. I mean, just absolutely gorgeous voice. And then and we have six musicians and Kathy. And then I have four champion dancers. I have two alumni of Riverdance. I've got two guys that I have traveled with. There's Michael Holland and Garrett Coleman. Both of them are world champions. We only have maybe seven or eight world champion men dancers in America that have gone to Ireland and brought back the world championship. And we have two of them with us. Wow. And then I have Cara Butler, who is really, without a doubt, one of the finest entertainers in dance. She's, for the past year, 20 years, she's been touring with the Chieftains. But she's been dancing with us since she was a child as well. So, and then I have Megan Lucy, an All-Ireland champion, and also another alumni of Riverdance. So all in all, we have just a wonderful crew, and we've been just standing ovation after standing ovation every night. It's just been incredible.
Joni Madden founded the ensemble Cherish the Women nearly 29 years ago. Joni and Cherish the Women will be on stage at the Walton Arts Center tonight in downtown Fayetteville. This is Ozarks at Large.
Listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Garfield.
And thanks once again to everyone who contributed during the just-completed fundraiser last week at KUAF.
Yes, we had a quick on-air fundraiser. First time we've done this in December, if I'm correct.
You are correct.
I was very humbled, I guess, is the word, by the support we were shown. So thanks to the staff, and thanks to
the
folks who came in to answer the phones. Thanks to local restaurants who helped feed everybody. And, of course, to our contributing listeners. So I know we had some new listeners, as well as other folks making additional gifts, which both were, again, humbling.
And very appreciated.
Very appreciated.
Also would like to tell you that you can still, through this week, come into the lobby and give non-perishable food items or jackets to the Outback program. We're collecting them under our giving tree, and then we will take them over. I know the lobby is open through Friday. There will be people here the week after that, but we probably won't have the door unlocked.
With the holidays and the university being officially closed, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, yeah, definitely within this week, please bring any donations that you have by, and those will go to Fayetteville Public Schools Outback Program, which helps families in need in their district.
Right. And don't forget that the Christmas program we had at the Fayetteville Public Library will be heard on Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, so a week from today.
A week from today is Christmas Eve.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you okay with that?
No.
Nor am I.
No. When you say it like that, it sounds terrible. I mean, not that I don't like Christmas Eve.
No, I know.
But I feel not prepared. I don't know that I ever feel prepared, but I feel like there's a lot to do between now and then, and perhaps not enough time to do that if I want to sleep.
Ah, there's the
There's
the rub.
Exactly.
All right. You will be with Christina tomorrow.
I will.
Awake, doing a brand new edition of
Hopefully
Ozarks
awake.
At Large at noon.
It could be interesting if I'm asleep.
Well, Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. And as I mentioned, you're back with Christina tomorrow at noon.
All new edition of Ozarks at Large.
All right.
Have a good Tuesday.